Let's first give a real big round of applause for the SPJ, Society of Professional Journalism, for inviting us here. Our next poet, her name is Jenny Kuipers. And Jenny Kuipers is the founder of Scars Publications, which publishes literary magazines, anthologies, and audio CDs of poetry. She has performed her spoken word across the country, including at the Albuquerque Spoken Word Festival. Janet Kuipers also runs a monthly poetry podcast and a poetry internet radio station. Check it out. Technology into the poetry world. She has hosted a weekly poetry and music open mic called Sing Your Life. Let's hear a real loud for Janet Kuipers.
I feel so honored to be here because I'm a journalism major and I'm an editor, and I felt great just to be here, and I feel like I can share anything with you guys because I feel so comfortable here. Like I had a dream the other night. I was walking down the street in a city and a man came right up to me, a skinny man. He lost his hair. And he took my hand and he said that nobody cares anymore. I'm not supposed to be like this, he said. I'm not homeless, you know. I have AIDS. And I wanted to tell him that someone did care, that he didn't have to die alone. But you know how sometimes you can't do things in your dream no matter how hard you try? Well, my mouth was open. It was wide open. But no words were coming out. And then later in my dream, I left that city and I went to a forest. And there were neatly paved bicycle paths and trash cans every 50 feet and trash every 10. And as I walked along, a raccoon was walking by. She had a few little baby raccoons following her. It was so cute. I wish I had my camera. And then she walked right up to me and she said, "Thank you for not buying furs. I know you humans are pretty smart. You've got to be able to figure out a way to keep yourselves warm without killing me." And I said, "You know they don't do it for warmth. They do it for fashion. They do it for power." And she said, "I know, but thank you anyway." I walked a little further, and there was a brand new stray cat. I mean, she still had a little neon collar on and a little bell. And she walked a few feet, stretched her front paws. Oh, she looked so darling. And then she walked right up to me. And she said, "In some countries, I'm considered a delicacy." And I said, "How do you know of these things?" And she said, "When somebody eats one of you, word gets around." And her little ears were standing straight up, and she said, "And in some countries, the cow is sacred. Wouldn't they love to see how you humans prepare them for slaughter? How you hang them upside down and slit their throats so their still beating heart won't drain out all the blood for you?" She said, "Isn't it funny how arbitrary your decision to eat meat is?" And I said, "Don't put me in that category. I don't eat meat." And she said, "I know." And then I woke up in a sweat. So tell me George Bush, so tell me Newt Gingrich, so tell me Tom DeLay, so tell me Rush Limbaugh, so tell me Sean Hannity, if you woke up from that dream, would you be in a sweat too? I know you're sitting there looking at me and thinking that I'm an extremist, but I'm sitting here looking around me, writing about all the destruction caused by family values, and thinking that the right, moral, nonviolent decisions are also those extreme ones. I mean, in our lives, we dump our wastes into our lakes. We pump aerosol cans and exhaust pipes, and you tell me I'm extreme. But I think we just keep doing it because we don't know how to stop. And deep inside, we feel all the pain, and we try to control it by popping a chemical-filled painkiller, and we live through the guilt by taking caffeine, nicotine, morphine. We keep ourselves thin with saccharin, and we keep ourselves sane with our alcohol poisoning. I don't know if it's for my dreams or not, but I've learned that in the wild, you have no power over anyone else. Now that we're civilized,
We have to heal ourselves from all of our newfound pain, because maybe we are really only wild animals at heart. And you know, we say we've progressed so far. I mean, we're not wild animals. I mean, this is the new millennium, right? We're supposed to be above and beyond all of this. And yet now you say to me that you need crystal meth so that you can stay awake through work. Or you say that you don't need to drink. Hey, you just like the taste. And I keep thinking that I don't want to hear about your escapism and your drugs and just what made you think a playing with needles and escape would make things better somehow. God, I've always hated needles anyway. What is it with you people? Well, I'm here to usher in a whole new millennium. I'm the new savior, the savior of science, the savior of strength and survival, survival of the fittest, survival of the best. So fasten your seatbelts, place your feet straight, sit in their upright and locked position for it's a bumpy ride, and I'll tell you why. You say you need a leader, and I'm stepping up to the plate. You keep asking for a big brother, and I'm here to set you straight. You want somebody to wipe your noses for you? Well, pick up the damn tissue and do it yourself, because when you give up your rights, you take away mine, and we're not having any of that. I'm here to usher in a whole new millennium, so take charge of yourself, and I'll take charge of me. I'm my leader, not yours, so wipe your own damn noses. You've been looking for peace in all the wrong places. You keep asking your leaders to save you, but your leaders are losers, and they're worse off than you. So please, help me bring in a whole new millennium. You need your leaders. Speaking of leaders, my phone rang earlier today, and I picked it up, and I said, hello. And the voice at the other end said, is this Jana Coppers? And I said to you, yes it is. May I ask who's calling? She said, yeah, hi, this is George Washington, and I'm sitting here with Jefferson, and we just wanted to tell you some stuff. And I'm like, oh, why me? And he said, excuse me, I believe I said I was the one that wanted to do the talking. God, that is the problem with Americans nowadays. They're so damn rude. And I said, you know, you really didn't have to use language like that. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, it's just that I've been dead for so long. I lose all control of my manners. Well, anyway, we just wanted to tell you some stuff. Now, I know we didn't have much of an idea of what we were doing when we were starting up this country here. I mean, we didn't have much experience in creating bodies of power, so I can understand how our Constitution could be misconstrued. And then he put in a dramatic pause, and he said, but when we said that people had a right to bear arms, we must protect ourselves from a government gone wrong, and not so that you can kill a 16-year-old in an ATM machine for $20 cash. And when we said freedom of religion, we didn't want the government imposing religion, because freedom of religion could mean freedom from religion. And when we said freedom of speech, we had no idea you'd be burning the flag, or painting pictures of Christ dust in urine, or photographing people with whips of their respective anatomies. But hell, I guess we've got to grin and bear it, because if we ban that, then the next thing they'll ban is books, and we can't have that. And I said, but there are schools that have books banned, George. And he said, oh. I want to thank SPJ, and I want to thank Chicago Poetry. This is wonderful. Thank you very, very much. I love the fact that I'm here, because I did the whole journalism thing in me, because I'm an editor of literary magazines and blah, blah, blah. And I think that there is a lot in common in some respects between being a poet and being a journalist, because like any journalist, a poet needs to document life. You know, I need to document life, so I burn these things out of pages. Well, when I first went to college, before I was a journalism major, I decided I wanted to become a computer science engineer. because, see, I wanted to make a lot of money. I wanted to beat everyone else. But burned in my brain were all the kids in high school who were in cliques so that other people could do the thinking for them. And burned in my brain were all those people that I knew I was better than, who thought that they were better than me. So, yeah, I wanted to make a lot of money. I wanted to beat everyone else, but I hated what I saw around me. I hated all the pain that people put each other through. So, to keep me sane, to keep me alive, the journalist in me wrote down the things I could not say. When I looked around me and saw friends signing up for a war, when I saw friends raping my friends, I burned into these nightmares with a pen. And yes, I have this recorded. I have all of this recorded. What did you think I was doing when I was typing long hours into the night? I was slamming my hand, my fingers into that keyboard because there were too many atrocities in the world. Too many injustices that I had witnessed, and I had a lot of work to do. You want to know why I do the things I do? I need to record these things. When we went off to wars that we couldn't explain, when my friends were raped and left for dead, and when no one bothered to notice this, or change this, or care about this, these writings kept me together. I need to record these things to remind myself that there are things of value and things to hate. I need to record these things to remind myself that there are things worth fighting for, worth dying for. I need to record these things to remind myself that I am alive.
Thank you very much.
Stars.tv and find info about the magazine. I've got business cards if anybody wants them. There are books available for sale on the internet as well. And thank you all so much for sticking around. Thank you.